Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Up here, both
that's on paper,
paper form,
too.
On paper form and in digital form as well. We will have live coverage all evening tonight, pick by pick. The Bears aren't officially on the clock, but they've been on the clock since, you know, the end of the regular season. So here we are. What we're going to do to kick things off the right way is go to the Wester Hotline to hear from our very own Sal Capaccio, who's at One Bills Drive as we speak. Happy draft evening, Sal. We are just under an hour away, and draft day always sort of feels like this, Sal, where it's this big buildup. It feels like it takes forever, and then you get here, and all of a sudden you blink, and it's over. What are you maybe most excited about as we head into, I think, a very consequential draft for Brandon Bean and this Buffalo Bills team?
Yeah, it's like Thanksgiving dinner, right? When that happens, you wait and wait, and then, yeah, it's so great. It takes a long time, and then, bam, it's all done. I'm excited here to be in here in this media room. We've got a lot of people milling around right now. We just got dinner actually served here, thanks to the great PR staff of the Bills who always take care of us over the weekend. But I'm excited for the top of the draft after the first couple picks to see what happens. I think that's when things start to get interesting, right at number three with the New England Patriots. Sure, you know, the Bills are way down at 28, but who knows? Could they really try to be that aggressive to go super high up and right around number 10 or inside the top 10? Unlikely, would cost a lot, but you never know. Once certain players start falling, do they make a move to try and get up in the teens? Or do we sit here at 11:30 at night, it's pick number 28, and the Bills trade out? And then you guys are all night on, I'm not all night on, and we're like, hey, they walk away from here without even picking anybody. I mean, that's always a possibility.
Our jobs are not nearly as important as doctors, but we are sort of on call for the next 3 days, and that's a responsibility I'm willing to take, Sal. So, obviously, this is probably between now and 8 p.m., Sal. We are going to start to hear the rumor mill, I think, speed up a little bit. The teams that are looking to sort of trade out of the top 10, they're going to be feeding media members now rumors about being open for business. We're already hearing rumblings about the Chicago Bears being open to moving out of the number 9 pick. There are rumblings now that the Chargers at 7 are open for business and potentially looking to move back. As this all sorts of plays out, Sal, the idea of trading up, I think it's a very real possibility. I think I'm starting to come to terms with the fact that if the opportunity presents itself, which it sounds like more and more as we get closer to 8 p.m., that a top 10 draft pick is available for the Bills, the question is, will Brandon Bean do what it takes to get there? Have you sort of allowed yourself to get your mind to the place that the Bills could very well move themselves into a top 10 pick and maybe what the ramifications are of that monumental move?
Yeah, I've thought about that for months, actually. And I think that, you know, ever since, you know, we heard from Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott at the end of the last season about explosive players and needing explosive plays and that something that they had to add to their roster, it felt like really wasn't going to happen in free agency. The contract situation you have to give somebody if you want to do that via trade is, you know, obviously really tough. So where do you get it? You get it in the draft. And then they trade Stephon Diggs, and you're like, okay, now you really need to do this, right? So I've been thinking about that for a while, but I just think it's so cost prohibitive. So if he does it, look, I think any pick is available for the right price, let's be honest. If Brandon Beaton really wants to go inside the top 10, he can do it. The question is how much he's actually willing to give up to be able to do it. And, you know, you're looking at probably, let's say, 10 or 9, where the 9 where the Bears are is probably the most likely. I wrote at WGR550.com a whole bunch of kind of spots where you could trade to what it would cost. To get there, you'd be swapping picks. You'd be giving up probably your second, your fourth, and next year's first. No doubtly next year's first would be involved. I mean, that's a hefty price to pay. So I think they could do it. I've wrapped my mind around it. Yes, I've thought about it. I just think it's so costly. It's pretty incredible.
Sal, when you look at this wide receiver class, I think the name that gets thrown around a lot, that if the Bills do trade up, it would be for Rome Odunze. That kind of seems to be the prevailing thought. Is he kind of like your favorite option for the Bills, or would you like to see them, if they did do this move, for it to be someone like a Malik Nabers, who, by the way, is only 20 years old? He won't turn 21 until July, or, of course, Marvin Harrison Jr., who is kind of considered by many to be the best prospect in this entire class, regardless of position.
I mean, I think you're kind of splitting hairs between Nabers and Odunze when you come to that. I love all of them, actually. Marvin Harrison Jr., of course, fantastic. They're all great in their own right for a lot of different reasons. I think Odunze is kind of, to me, the highest floor with the chance still to have the highest ceiling, right? Where maybe Nabers actually has the highest ceiling overall, but maybe, you know, there's a little bit more of a chance that he just doesn't, you know, get to be the player you thought he'd be. I think Harrison is fantastic. Obviously, his dad going to Syracuse, I've, you know, followed his career, watched that, and then watched his son's career, you know, through Ohio State. So I love all those guys. I do think that Odunze would fit what the Bills want. I mean, he just does everything right, and I think he's ready to play. He's ready to play right now. You know, that's a great point you bring up about Malik Nabers being young. The Bills need someone who is going to play right now. Is Malik Nabers ready for that? If that's the guy that's falling, sure, you could get a guy that, oh my God, we can have him for 10 years. That'd be great. But is he ready to play day one? Because I think Marvin Harrison is, and I definitely think Rome Odunze is.
Sal, when it comes to more, obviously, we're going to keep hammering about the wide receivers and plenty of stuff like that there. A couple of the other options, though, within the first round being players like a Brian Thomas Jr., a Troy Franklin, A.D. Mitchell, even Xavier Worthy are players that you could typically see Buffalo being mocked to here. Which ones are players that you would think that are better fits for this team if they were to stay around 28 or even a slight trade up?
You know, I love them all for different reasons. I really do. I have Worthy in my mock to the Bills. I don't do any trades, and I have Brian Thomas Jr. off the board. I think Brian Thomas Jr. would be a great fit. He does a lot of things the Bills, you know, need, but I think Xavier Worthy in that speed, and just hearing Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean talk about explosive plays and rack. We've heard rack how many times this offseason, guys. Ball in your hands, make a play. The way the defenses are playing you, you can't go over the top. Well, this guy still can. He's 4-2-1, broke the combine record. But, oh, by the way, you get into the ball in his hands in space, he makes one person miss. It's a 20, 25-yard gain maybe to the house. And he's a punt returner. They need a punt returner. They don't have one on the roster right now. They have guys who can do it, but nothing like this. This guy is probably the best punt returner in college football last year, so and over the last few years. So I think that guy fits. I love Xavier Leggett. I think he checks all the Bills' boxes for DNA. Just don't know if he's worth 28. Maybe. If you really like him, fine, do it. Ladd McConkey, love him as well. Is he worth 28? I'm not sure. I mean, yeah, A.D. Mitchell's a fantastic player. I'm not trying to discount him at all. I think Worthy's a little better fit, but all these guys are good. I think all these guys fit. And if you want to go down, if, you know, Brandon Bean not having that third-round pick really hurts him a lot. We know that. He's got two fourths. But if you want to trade down and double dip and get an extra third, now get a third, now you have 2 seconds and a third, now you can use those three picks to grab two of those guys, which would be something this team could use.
All right, Sal, get some grub in you. We got a long night ahead of us. We'll be checking in with you periodically through the night as things unfold. We appreciate you, my friend, and talk with you soon.
All right, guys, thanks a lot. Have a great night. Here we go.
Yes, Sal Capaccio live from One Bills Drive. We'll, again, go to him periodically through the night there on the West Her Hotline. We'll also hear from Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase live from Resurgence. They are at their live draft party. If, for whatever reason, you've been living under a rock, you can head down there, too. I believe they're selling tickets at the door. You know, all you can drink, all you can eat, all that good stuff down at Resurgence on Ohio Street. So, guys, obviously getting into the nitty-gritty gritty, and you know, I would say that there's a general level, at least for me, and I would assume this exists for a lot of people, as you get to the at least this part of the draft, and a little under an hour to get there, we've sort of exhausted all of the talking points we could possibly talk about. This wide receiver thing has been hammered to death. The idea that the Bills could even potentially do something else if the draft board doesn't fall their way. The trade up, the trade down. There's not a lot of storylines this station, generally, not even just from a Bills perspective, but everyone else has talked about. Is there anything you guys feel, and Derek, I'll start with you, is there anything you guys feel we maybe haven't spent enough time talking about? A player, a move, a position that maybe we've been ignoring or slightly overlooking because of the concentration on the wide receiver position, because of the concentration on this team needing to potentially find a game breaker for Josh Allen next to Dalton Kincaid and Samuel and so on and so forth. Is there something to you, a storyline that we have not been talking about enough that we should be?
Honestly, I don't think so, because draft coverage starts the minute that everything's done. And the moment your season's done, it's just draft coverage. You're in it, and you're all the way in it. I think, though, that for me, it is I had shifted philosophies the moment the Stephon Diggs trade happened, and I became very much team trade up and go get a guy. And I'm going to bring Zach's words into effect here. Outside of the big three, there is going to be some flaw within the rest of the receivers you have to be relatively comfortable with. And you have to live with a flaw of a receiver, because that's obviously how you're not ending up in the big three. So if you can't move up to go get one of those guys, Adunze, Neighbors, Harrison, you're just going to have to deal with, okay, there's a flawed prospect here, but I think part of this is just more or less, this is so exciting, though, when it comes to talking about such a need as a wide receiver. Why? Offense sells tickets. It's exciting. It's fun. Who doesn't like more points? And that's what I think is probably allowing this hype to really be here, is it's fun talking about needing a wide receiver.
I mean, of course it is, especially because, and I think really the storyline we've all kind of beaten to death here is that the Bills have, in a way, ignored the position really since they traded for Stephon Diggs. That's the last time they've spent any serious capital to go get a wide receiver. Outside of that, it has been get this 32-year-old veteran wide receiver who may not make it the entire season, but we're going to see what happens, or Gabe Davis in the fourth round, or you get guys like Justin Shorter or Ray McCloud or what have you, where they're just, you kind of almost are hoping they have a special teams role. For me, really, and kind of to continue that point as well, I think is that we've almost, we are ignoring, I think to a certain extent, because a lot of Bills fans want one of the big three, that while, yes, there's big issues with, I think, everybody, I do think the golden goose is Josh Allen. For me, it's more just how good the situation is for any of the wide receivers the Bills take at, say, 28 would be for their career. I can't imagine there being a better situation, maybe outside of Kansas City, for a rookie receiver to go to. There's a desperate need, especially for a boundary outside wide receiver. They have the slot is totally figured out, but they have a huge need there. And they have a quarterback who has thrown for 4,000 yards in, what, each of the last 4 years? So, do you have a team that likes to throw the ball, has a desperate need to throw the ball? I will say, though, the one thing I am really watching for tonight, specifically for the wide receiver position, is really, are we going to have six quarterbacks go in the top 20? Mm. And along with that, is the first defensive player really going to go after 10? And I think that is going to be huge into finding out what actually is going to be available for the Bills come the 20s, not just even 28, but the 20s. Xavier Worthy, seemingly at midnight tonight or yesterday, got this huge boost, and he's potentially going to be a top 15, top 20 guy, where before, you know, really going into this week, it was Brian Thomas Jr. is the guy that, you know, all right, just write him off. He's going to be the mid-trade. There's no way we're making that. Just move on. Now, all of a sudden, it's Worthy of, are the Colts going to go get him? Jacksonville kind of quietly has a huge need at wide receiver.
I got to disagree on the huge need at wide receiver.
On Jacksonville?
I mean, Zay Jones is their third wide receiver.
That's right.
They've spent a lot of money.
They've got Gabriel Davis. And that would be a lot of premium assets. They spent a lot of money on Christian Kirk. They spent a lot of money on Gabriel Davis.
They did. They're treating Gabe like he's the true number two in every sense of the word there.
Well, And also, you mentioned the Chiefs, so I did see this report from James Palmer, formerly of NFL Network, tweeted out about an hour ago. The Chiefs have also been a team working to see if they can get up from the 32nd pick. The thought around the league is that would be for one of the speedy wide receivers. I would think they're a team that's also looking at a guy like Xavier Worthy, who, you know, if you want to talk about storylines for a moment, I've got one that I think maybe hasn't been talked about a lot, but I do think one really interesting storyline is that I think we've seen a pretty big move for this number four, quote unquote, wide receiver, or the guy, the fourth guy, the first guy outside the top three, has sort of long and steady been Brian Thomas Jr. And I think there has been a late shift towards Xavier Worthy as that guy. In my mock draft that I posted yesterday, I had the Bills having to get up to 22 to secure Xavier Worthy. I think you have to get in front of a team like Dallas. I think Dallas is a team, sneaky, that could use a receiver. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers at 20 are a team that absolutely could look to take a receiver. I think it would be very foolish for the Miami Dolphins at 21 to take a receiver. But could you imagine that team drafting Xavier Worthy and putting him in the slot and having those three at wide receiver? And then you've got your contingency plan. You've got your sort of retirement plan for a Tyreek Hill, who has mentioned he doesn't intend to play deep into his 30s. So that would be a team I'd look at as well. So there are teams that I do believe are in front of the Bills that we could. What I guess my fear is for the Bills is the same thing that I feared the last two or three drafts, which is these run on wide receivers before the Bills are on the board. And, you know, we saw it last year with the Zay Flowers and in that draft, and the year before that, where the run happens just out of reach for the Bills to sort of really get aggressive and move in front. And that, to me, speaks to where these receiver drafts have been the last couple of years, but the Bills have not done enough in previous drafts to backstock their wide receiver room, which the problem they now have and exists on their plate right now is a problem of their own doing, because they have not spent premium draft assets at the wide receiver position. The position they have spent premium draft assets more than any team, day one and day two picks, more than any team in the NFL since Brandon Bean has taken over as general manager, is the running back position. And that, to me, is a position I feel has been grossly under-talked about for this Bills team and how they might address things tomorrow if they don't trade up, if they trade back, find themselves with 2 seconds and a third. I think the Bills would really like to address the depth at the running back position. Ty Johnson is a great player, but he is a depth piece. I think his role of what we saw last year as the number three running back was a great fit for him. A couple of touches here and there a game, maybe out of the backfield as a wide receiver, three or four carries as a running back. I do think they're looking for the thunder to the James Cook Lightning, and Audric Estime, a Trey Benson. These are players that I do think the Bills could be in and find themselves in a position, if they get that trade back or if they don't have to trade number 60, that absolutely could be in play as someone to really complement James Cook in the backfield on an offense that I think we all presume is going to lean more into the conventional run game this upcoming season. It's what we saw at the end of last season. So I think running back at a more premium position in the second, third, or fourth round, if the Bills can find their way back into the third round, is maybe an under-talked about storyline for me as well.
And not to mention, though, that, yeah, they do not have a third-round pick, but they do have a couple of fourths that they can weaponize, pair together. But also what's going to loom large is that second-round pick from Minnesota for next year. That could be something that they could utilize when it comes to, say, trying to move into the third round, or even, actually, excuse me, into the second round again, if they wanted to double-dip within round two. You could use that pick, because that will be an early second, according to a lot of groupthink, when it comes to Minnesota's rebuilding. So that's a valuable asset that they could be holding on to or utilize for this year's draft of, okay, we can find ourselves a way to get, say you didn't get a chance at that guy at 28 that you wanted, but you were able to fall down a little bit. You acquire some extra picks. You have that extra second rounder. You can go ahead and move yourself back into the day two conversation with these fourths, with that second from Minnesota. There's a lot of maneuverability, and when have we ever seen Brandon Bean sit still?
I don't think he can help
But also, it's go get your guy. You have conviction.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't want to necessarily make it sound like it's a negative, but I don't think he can help himself, because he outright told you like that he wants to sleep better at night on Thursday knowing that he got his guy. And to a certain extent, I can respect it. A lot of times, I will be somebody that is trade back. I'm not really trade back in this draft, namely because
you have 10 picks.
Well, you have 10 picks, but also, and Nate, you brought it up too about those runs at wide receiver. I am deathly afraid. I think only maybe 5 or 6 receivers go in round one, and I think that'd be quite high because there is a lot of red flags, quote unquote, with a lot of these guys after the big three that teams will, I think, be comfortable waiting to the beginning of the second round. And I can just see a world in which Carolina goes Xavier Legette, and then New England goes and gets A.D. Mitchell, and then Ladd McConkey's off the board. And now all of a sudden, we have just gone through like 3-4 picks to start the second round, and the Bills are looking at maybe taking the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th receiver off the board, and then, you know, essentially kind of broadcasting to the world, okay, Javon Baker and Tez Walker are going to be our outside wide receivers 1 and 2 next year. Let's go have some fun. And that just, to me, you already have 10 picks. I get you're not picking the third round, but it's Chekhov's gun, that second round pick you got for the Diggs trade. They are going to pick in the third round this year. Like, if you ask me, they're picking in the third round. It will either be a hodgepodge of the 3/5, the 2/4, and that 1/3, or the 1/2 next year. They will pick in the third.
Please find a way to trade 248.
Let's go to the phones really quick to grab Mark, who's been waiting patiently. Mark, you're on our draft coverage here on WGR. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
I think I got to bring it up. Man, Nate loves Josh Rosen, and I am so thankful we did not draft him. I got to mention that every draft day. I'm nervous, and I'm nervous based on we need 2 wide receivers. That is just so clear. And kind of the change of philosophy of this Bills drafting Kincaid last year, I think they've kind of accepted defeat on that defensive line only because who cares? Score 50. I want 2 receivers. I'm worried about trading up. But, I'm just anxious. Let's go. Thanks
for the call, Mark. Yeah, I mean, I could tell you were anxious. we'll get to some of that stuff on the other side. We're going to take a timeout. We're also going to hear from Joe DiBiase. He's live from Resurgence, which, by the way, I must tell you, is now sold out. There are no more tickets at the door. So if you were planning on going and don't have tickets, find somewhere else because it is completely sold out. No tickets remaining. Nick Eary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. We continue our coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft. We are about 35 minutes from the Chicago Bears officially being on the clock. Don't go anywhere. We'll continue on here next on WGR. Welcome back to our continuing coverage of the 2024 NFL Draft. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. Coverage of the NFL Draft on WGR is presented by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. And brought to you in part by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Brody Construction. Join us in building Buffalo. And by Upstate Honda Dealers. For great deals, visit your local Honda dealer. Today, we are going to go to Joe DiBiase in un momento. Once we go to Chance, who is waiting patiently. Chance, you're on our coverage here on WGR of the 2024 NFL Draft. Chance, what's your thoughts on tonight's first round?
My thoughts are if we can't get one of the big three, we take the best defensive player available. 2 years ago, we had to have corner. Everyone in Buffalo said we had to have corner, and it turned out to be a 6th-rounder, and our 1st-rounder has barely even seen the field. It's no sure thing except for the top three, in my opinion. And why did we not beat the Chiefs this year? It wasn't because we couldn't put up points. I mean, it was because, one, it was depth at linebacker, but, I mean – We need safety bad. I don't have a ton of faith in our safeties. I don't know how good the safeties are this year, but if there's a day one starter, I would consider that. And defensive end, I mean, no one's banking on Von Miller. And A.J. Epinesa, I mean, he's okay. But I think really, well, I know we need to draft a couple, but if we can't get the big three, take the best defensive player available.
Thanks for the call, Chance. Well, I would tell you, the only thing, you know, listen, I Cooper DeJean's a heck of a player. I think he's a great fit in this Bills defense. He's a great fit for Sean McDermott. I just don't know if I love spending premium assets on safety. That's sort of my only pushback on that.
I will allow a bit of a thought on this. Cooper DeJean of Iowa, he's a guy that, you know, he's listed as a corner, but it does look like there's a versatility to his game. What if he's the one that's sitting there at pick 28 and the receiver board did not go your way. What would you think about that? Like, say, Chop Robinson's also gone. That would probably be the only thing that I would say is worthy of contemplating a secondary pick within that 28 range.
We shall see. Let's go to the Wester Hotline, because joining us live from Resurgence at our official WGR draft party is Joe DiBiase on the Wester Hotline. Joe, set the scene for us. Sold out already.
Sold out with the official wide receiver train draft party. You could still come down to Resurgence. Still, you can get in here. There's a lot of people already that are real excited. I'm seeing a billion Zubaz stripes already in here. Everyone's got their jerseys on. So, yeah, the big board's up. We got the wide receiver big board up right next to the giant screen. So people are people seem a little on edge. I don't know. This is it seems like the most highly anticipated draft in a while for edginess going in.
Yeah, since maybe the Josh Allen draft what quarterback will they take?
Yep.
I think I agree with you, Joe. So the sounds of it, Joe, is there are at least two teams as we get closer and inching closer to 8 p.m. here that are, quote, open for business within the top 10, number 7, the Los Angeles Chargers, and number 9, the Chicago Bears, second pick. Any of those two you like more than the other than, you know, I like 7 because it's higher?
I just, things are moving a million miles a minute. Chargers or Titans are at 7 right now?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Titans at 7. Chargers at 6.
You never know. I didn't 5. Know in the last 10 minutes if I missed them trading down like 2 spots. Then it could have happened.
Yeah, you wouldn't be surprised.
So, yeah, 7 and 9, those are picks that I've wondered if they would be available really for weeks leading into this. The Bears especially totally make sense. They have 4 draft picks in the draft total, and they have nothing between 9 and 75. They brought in Xavier Worthy on a pre-draft visit, and I've seen Bears people say they really like him, but they're not taking him at number 9. So the only way they're taking him and doing their due diligence on him is if they are very open to moving back. I think 9 is very possible and have thought that for a while. 7 would be interesting because the Titans, I think, could really use an offensive lineman, and there are great tackles there. That might be one where, to reference the old Bill story from the 18 draft where – they would have moved up to 5, but the Broncos told them, if Bradley Chubb is there, trade's off. Bradley Chubb was there, trade was off. Bills had to scramble to get to 7 for Tampa. I wonder if the Titans have a deal with teams, maybe not even the Bills, but someone else in the draft. Hey, we'll move down with you, but if Joe Alt is there at 7, the deal's off.
Furthermore, Joe, Tennessee, they don't pick after the second round in 38 until 106, so they might want some filler in there too. Yeah. As an opportunity. Of course, the wide receiver train, the big board is there, Joe, and I've got to imagine, I'm excited about this, and I'm excited about the prospect, the rumors starting to circulate about, like, hey, the Bills are looking to trade up to 9 or something. Like, they're trying to move heaven and earth was the words that were being used about moving up there for one of those big 3 receivers. What do you think it's really going to take at this point, cost-wise, and more or less, what's your confidence in Brandon Bean's inability so much to say sitting still when it comes to his first-round selections?
I mean, if we're going to try to evaluate what he's going to do based on his history, a guy trades up 4 of 6 first-round picks he's made, he's moved up for, and he only did the big heaven and earth trade up the one time for a quarterback. But more and more, I think receiver above all other positions, if there is a non-quarterback position that a historic-level trade-up is worthy of, then I think receiver is that position. So I think if there's a GM in the league that can figure out a way to go from 28 into the top 10, it's this GM, and it's in this situation when you have traded away your number 1 receiver, your number 2 receiver walked out the door in free agency. You've brought in a nice little player in Curtis Samuel, but I just don't think he's playing either of those outside positions. They have a need. I think they have a GM that's willing to get stuff like that done. And from what he said about first-round picks in the future and wanting to have the guy when you go to bed at night, that he could sleep at night getting his guy, and the class where there are not 1 but 3 guys that people will say would have been the first pick receiver in any of these other drafts, I just think it all adds up to if there's ever a time to go into the top 10 from 28 for that position, I think this is the situation that it happens.
So, Joe, on that, let's say they make that trade and they go to 9 for Chicago.
Yeah.
I think there would be a lot of people, I know we've all heard from them on the station here, that would say that the Bills actually need to get maybe multiple wide receivers. They need a double dip. Are you somebody that thinks that if they do make up that move and they go get a Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, is that it?
Yeah.
Like, are they just going to be done at wide receiver, maybe add a veteran? I know OBJ's out there or what have you. Or do you see them just going all in, we're going to trade up for a big guy here, we're going to trade more picks from next year to try to get somebody in the second or third round, or is it just this is the guy and that's the one we're going to ride with?
I think it would be tough to double dip if you did that. And by the way, is it starting to sound like Nabers more and more would be the guy that's available? I'm just seeing more and more about Adunze maybe being the second receiver off the board.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. I brought that up to Derek that, like, Adunze kind of feels like the football guy. Teams will love him because he's quiet.
Yeah.
Nabers maybe has, like, some red flags here or there. For me, though, Joe, honestly, like, if it's Nabers, I'm over the moon. He's 20 years old. He turns 21 in July. He won't turn 30 for 10 years. Like you're, as long as, like, he stays healthy and does hit, that's Josh Allen's career right there. You're good.
Yeah. But I don't have red flags about Nabers. I know just Matt Harmon, who actually was, like, one of the only guys I had seen have Nabers at number 3. The reason he had Nabers third and not second was he's untested at the X and the Z less so, but the X receiver position, he's untested there. That was Brian Thomas's role at LSU. Nabers was a high slot player at LSU, over 50% of his snaps. Now, I think if you look at his profile and the athleticism and the skills, I do not have many questions about him being able to line up anywhere on the field. He reminds me of CeeDee Lamb for that, where Lamb is actually a guy that plays like half the snaps in the slot, but when he moves to the outside, he's just as dominant. I think that's going to be Nabers. And given his athleticism, if he were the guy they'd be moving up to get, I mean, I like Adunze a lot, but they talked about explosiveness. They talked about big explosive plays when the season ended. And I think maybe even above Marvin Harrison Jr., the most explosive player in this draft is Malik Nabers. So if he were to be the guy that fell to 9 and they said, okay, this deal's on the table, we can trade 60, we could trade next year's 1 and some day 3 picks, and Chicago will do this with us, I think if it doesn't say 2, but if it's Nabers, I wouldn't hesitate for a second.
All right, Joe, go enjoy your party. We'll keep you and Jeremy sort of on throughout the program for some updates. Right. And I will make sure that TJ has the wide receiver train horn on.
Let's go. Yes, I'm ready. All right, thanks, boys. We'll check in.
Sounds good. Joe DiBiase there live from Resurgence at our official WGR draft party over in Ohio Street. In what I guess I would call South Buffalo, because, I mean, that's where I live, and I guess I call it South Buffalo, so that's where
that's good. That's good.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Chase, who's been waiting patiently. Chase, you're on with Nate, Zach, and Derek. What do you got, buddy?
Go on, boys. What do you think about Brock Bowers? They love that 12 personnel. I think it would be a cool fit.
The thing about 12 personnel is...
Sounds like you want 13 personnel.
Yeah, it's 13 personnel at that point. You're like, that's Joker, and... You're either getting rid of Dawson Knox or I don't know what you're doing, but you're spending it on a luxury good. And the Bills, while we're on this wide receiver train and everything, they have too many needs to spend on a luxury good. And I think Brock Bowers would be that. If they didn't have Kincaid, sure, I'd kick the tires. But
I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh, yeah, no. Like,
I'm going to lose it. I can't. Like, Bowers is a great prospect. He is maybe the greatest college tight end of
all time. His greatest value to the Buffalo Bills right now is someone else takes him with like a top 10 pick.
You guys remember remember my reactions and my general mood last year going into the draft talking about tight ends?
You were upset. You were not.
So, Chase, I appreciate you trying to get my blood pressure up, but I took my blood pressure meds. I took some relaxers.
Jokes on you. I'm already struggling.
There's nothing any of you guys are going to do to get me pissed off today. So, you know,
challenge accepted, sir.
I'm good, guys. I'm good. I mean, you guys saw me come in here. I'm as docile as you've ever seen me.
I mean, he was ready to roll. He was locked in.
I am locked in. All right, let's take a timeout. On the other side, we'll continue taking some phone calls. We are inching closer and closer. I'm pretty sure we had a, you know, national anthem played just now. That means we're typically pretty close. There are some. And just quickly, just a quick rundown of the recent quote-unquote, you know, rumblings that we have from Ian Rapoport, that Roma Dunze seems to be the target of generally several teams looking to trade up, that he's the guy people are looking for the most at trading up. So that's a name to keep an eye on, as the Bills are probably one of those teams, and several others as well. 803-0550, the number to call. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, our continuing coverage here of the 2024 NFL Draft chugs along here on WGR. All right, welcome back to our coverage here of the 2024 NFL Draft here on WGR. Some wide receiver train news before we go to the conductor. Zach, some quick news before the draft starts here.
So we will not, it doesn't feel like we're going to get a big veteran wide receiver trade tonight, as the Philadelphia Eagles are signing A.J. Brown to a three-year, $96 million extension. $84 million of that is guaranteed.
That's the second time that A.J. Brown has had like a big
draft day.
Like a big moment on a draft day.
Yeah, yep. They're now paying a combined $100 million to the wide receivers, so God bless them. Let's go to the Western Hotline, and the counterpart to Joe DiBiase, Jeremy White, joins us here live from Resurgence. Jeremy, how's the blood your blood sugar level, your blood pressure, your nerves?
Did you eat yet today?
Have you gotten a nice base layer? What's the vibes, man? We're 12 minutes away.
All right, well, part of the vibe is that it's quite possible that we have started a train and there are no brakes on this thing, and I am now in fear. There are hundreds of people here, and if Brandon Bean could see this scene, he's not taking any safeties. I mean, we got ourselves... Nate, you said man on the moon, like I'm Andy Coffin for Man on the Moon. This is more like Frankenstein. This thing has taken on a life of its own. These people will want blood if there's not a receiver.
And luckily, it's a beautiful night, Jeremy. So the streets will probably be filled with people very upset. Yeah. And Jeremy, as we get closer and closer, I talked about this with Joe. It does appear some teams very interested. It's always it's easy to talk about the teams willing to move up, but they've got to find teams willing to move back. And it looks like at least two right now, 5 with the LA Chargers and 9 with the Chicago Bears. Two teams looking to potentially move back. We see the Chicago Bears at 9 make a lot of sense. They don't have a ton of picks in this draft. Moving back, getting some picks and another pick first round pick next year could make a lot of sense for them. Is that in your mind more and more as we inch closer and closer? Have you sort of parted ways or at least come to terms with if there's a good move to be made, that it's going to be a move up into the top 10?
I don't really know what to expect, but you know, as these teams say they're willing to move down, I can just picture Brandon Bean. It's like I made this analogy before with Frank the Tank, right? Frank the Tank says he's going to go to Bed Bath & Beyond to be responsible, and then he chugs a beer and he goes streaking in the quad. And Brandon Bean wants to be responsible. And then the Chargers are like, hey, we'll trade. And then he just can't help himself. He's going streaking in the quad, right? He's going to spend those picks. I don't know. I go back and forth on what I think they're going to do, a modest move up versus a big move up. They probably have 5 different plans. They probably have a price they know at every stage, and when the clock starts ticking on that path, they'll make their call, right? Like, hey, all right, here's our price for the Chargers pick. We know what it is. They're on the clock, yes or no. And, boy, I bet that's going to be really tough for him to turn down 3, 4, 5, 6 times, right? Because the price will get less and less each time, in theory. So, man, I don't know. I just know that if they do make a big move up and take one of those big three guys, you're gonna hear cheers around the entire neighborhood. I mean, everywhere. People are gonna go nuts. So I have no idea what they're gonna do. It's a beautiful storyline, is it not? I mean, like, it's all perfect.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be a fun time here, especially Jeremy. I love the passion that you've had with the wide receiver train, and I was happy sitting in the caboose being like, okay, I'll be cool with one in like round 2. And then throughout this process, I've like in a movie, how you just like see the guy on the top of the train frantically moving to get to the lead car. That's me. Wide receiver train in profile. And gut feeling, give me a percentage of how confident you feel that they will make a move whether it's a little or a lot, aggressively in round one?
I think that the guy to watch for me is Adunze. I think that they will love him. If they could draft a person at receiver, I think he would be the guy they would want. And the skill set matches, and, you know, you'll get criticized for the big trade, but there's an easy counterpoint, and that is on the money saved on 4 to 5 years of wide receiver draft pick money instead of what that guy would cost on the open market. And the other thing about the big trade-up, I mentioned this today, the Devonta, you guys talked about the A.J. Brown contract signing. The Devonta Smith one is more interesting because Devonta Smith signed an extension after 3 years. He didn't get the fifth-year option pickup during year four, play on the year four, then extend it. He got the extension after three, which is something that – who gets that? Quarterbacks. Allen, Mahomes, Kyler Murray fought for that. Quarterbacks get extended before the fourth year. And the number two position, the position that at every step of the way is closing in on quarterbacks, is receiver. And Devontae Smith is the first that I know of, and he won't be the last to sign after 3 years. So – whether that's – I think Justin Jefferson's playing fourth year this year. But go look at that Smith draft class. And, you know, if you're a team that drafted a guy in that draft class, you might want to get ahead of the game because otherwise, you know, you're running your team like the Dallas Cowboys, waiting to the last minute, costing yourself money as the passage of time only guarantees you will spend more money. So that Smith contract, I think, is the first indicator. A smart organization got proactive after year three on a first-round receiver.
Yeah, Jeremy, and obviously we see the big A.J. Brown move today, too, for them locking him up long-term. The price tag for these veteran receivers and the idea the Bills might be in the market for an Ayuk trade or other things like that, I think become less and less realistic with the idea these guys are now making 30-plus a year. Jeremy, enjoy the draft party. I hope that the wide receiver train draft board goes according to plan. I'm sure we'll catch up with you at some point over the rest of the night. Get your reaction if and hopefully when the Bills secure their wide receiver one of the future. Enjoy tonight, my friend, and chat with you soon.
Sounds good. No pressure, Bean. No pressure.
None whatsoever. Jeremy White there from live from Resurgence. At our official WGR 550 draft day party on the West Her Hotline. We got about 1 minute, and I wanted to just quickly touch on that point again about the Ayuk idea, about a veteran receiver idea. I think it's become less and less likely that a move like that is made. You've just created almost $30 million in cap space next year with the trade of Stephon Diggs. Wiping that away on a receiver 26, 27 years old, to me, just does not make a lot of sense. The whole point of a draft like this one is to have an opportunity to have that cheap labor at the wide receiver position for the next couple of years. 803-0550 is the number. We'll get to some calls on the other side. Again, we will have live calls from ESPN throughout the evening tonight right here on WGR. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, myself, Nate Geary. We've got a lot more coming your way. We've got the draft starting here in just under 5 minutes. There is 4 minutes and 45 seconds on the clock. I think Sal Capaccio said it the best. It's a lot like Thanksgiving dinner. You prep all day, you make all the food, and you finally get here, and we are there, folks.
And pace our yourself coverage, eating.
Our coverage continues here next on WGR.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.